Well, we often have an opportunity during the offertory to answer questions. And we had a hard time finding this card, but we finally found it. And it kind of starts off, "Hey, Pastor, it's Chad." That's how it starts off. It's pretty interesting. So now that we know who it is who's asking the question. But it's a great question because it's one of those things that you oftentimes take for granted and you don't think about. And, you know, I just really appreciate you having us think about it. The question is, we know what the right hand of God is for, but what about the left hand of God? And that's a great question. So if you turn with me to Job chapter 23, I think one of the best places to begin clearly would be in Genesis, our thought would be, but really the oldest book of the Bible is the book of Job. So if you turn with me in the book of Job in chapter 23, there is an interesting phrase that is used, and both the right and the left hand are used within this particular text of God. The writing goes this way as Job replies to some of his quote-unquote friends. It says, if you drop all the way down to verse 10, "But he knows the way that I take, and he has tried me when I shall go forth as gold." Now, if you back up, you understand the context of this in verse 9. "When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him." On the surface, when you read that particular passage, it doesn't seem too explanatory, although it is interesting in the King James, it will translate quite a bit different in the first phrase. In verse 10, it reads, verse 9, "when he acts," in NAS on the left. In the King James, "when he does," it actually makes reference to where he does his work. And so I would say at that particular point that the emphasis is probably more right on target, that the word "act" there, asa, that is being used, is really the fashioning that God does, the molding that God does. So if we were to put it that way, it would read something like this: when he fashions, or when he works on the left, would probably be the way that it would be put. That particular word is used as well, and just kind of mark it because we won't have time to go there, but in Psalm 139, one of our favorite passages that talks about the fact that God fashioned us. And the way that it's put within that particular passage is, "when I was made in secret," he actually uses the same word, asa, in the particular passage, which means that he was fashioning something. Now, the way that it's put is, "when I was made in secret." It actually goes on to say in that particular text, "my frame was not hidden from thee." The name left, that is actually in the Hebrew, semol, is a word that refers to obscurity, oftentimes covered. One of the reasons why is back in that day when you would wear your outer garment, you would have this cloak and you'd put it over your shoulders and your left hand was hidden, the way that you would put it. And so it didn't mean necessarily something bad was happening, but it was something that you could not see. In a way, Job is making reference to that here in verse 9, when he acts on the left, "I cannot kazah, I have no vision of that," is actually what he's talking about. Now, when he goes on to say about the right, "when he turns on the right," which means in this particular passage, Job is saying he turns to cover, the word "turns" there is to cover, so he turns to cover his right, which means that his right was exposed, but God is turning to cover that. So he's making the differentiation of that, and really throughout Scripture, you begin to realize that the right hand, obviously, is a hand of power. It is the hand of manifestation, whereas the left hand is an obscurity. We don't know exactly what he's doing, what he's fashioning. Now, I would say this, that there is no bad hand with God. So I think sometimes the perception is, well, the right hand is good and the bad hand, the left hand is bad. No, that's not true. And if that were true, then why would in Mark chapter 10, verse 37, you know, James and John go, you know, we're asking you one to sit on the right and one to sit on the left. So the understanding was clear that both had significant meaning. There's an interesting passage in Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 6, chapter 8 as well, verse 3. It is the same quote that is used, so I'll just quote the one. It says this as it's talking about kind of a romantic relationship. Let his left hand be under my head and his right hand embrace me. Now you have an interesting picture of the right hand doing the work or doing the power, but the left hand being supportive, right? And so really what you have is kind of a parallel to the passage in Proverbs chapter 3 where it talks about wisdom and it uses this particular phrase is that long life is in the right hand, but then it says this, but riches and honor are in the left hand. What it's talking about, of course, is the resources. And I think this is why in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3, it says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What he's really talking about is don't calculate how much you have. The tendency in giving is, well, I wonder how much you have, and you begin to calculate it, and you begin to calculate the cost. And he's saying, I want you to give generously. I want you to not think about this. Now, we oftentimes use it as far as, you know, not being overt about it, which is also the point. But the emphasis really within the passage is that don't think about the treasures that you have. Think about just the giving and the resource of the giving. So as you go through Scripture, you realize this. There's an interesting passage in 2 Chronicles, if you will turn there with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 3. You didn't think such a simple question would deserve so much effort, but I'll tell you, it makes you think, doesn't it? There is a reason for everything. And, you know, when you begin to understand what Scripture is saying with the distinctions, then it just adds a lot of depth to it. But in 2 Chronicles in chapter 3, Solomon is building the house of the Lord. As it comes to the end in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 17, he erects these pillars, and it reads this way. And he erected the pillars in front of the temple, one on the right and the other on the left. He named the one on the right Yakim, which actually means whom God strengthens, which would match the right hand, the hand of power. And the one on the left Boaz, which means obscure or hidden. That's pretty interesting. So in many respects, what we are understanding within the passages is God has, I would say, hidden treasures for us. And he does work that we will never really know or comprehend. But the love of God, he has revealed to us. Remember Deuteronomy 29:29, the hidden things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us. And certainly God is doing a great work, and the endless and boundless treasures of who he is, we hope to continue to discover, but oftentimes they are hidden from us. So the right and the left, certainly all are from God. Father, we give you thanks for your wonderful wisdom in revealing to us your truths in very specific ways. Oftentimes anthropomorphic in the sense that you take on almost human personas. Nevertheless, we realize that you are God, and to comprehend you would go way beyond what we could ever do. The wonderful thing is you've allowed us to see your love. And not only that, but your love now reigns in heaven at your right hand. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.